Well, good morning. Oh, good. I see several smiles. It's never encouraging to get up front and everybody just looks at you. Bless me if you can. But you're smiling this morning, so that's a good sign. But I do want to thank the Lord for His presence in the service this morning. I appreciated the songs, the selection of songs of consecration, and I appreciated that special song. You know, we take music for granted a lot of times, but I learned very quickly not to do that after I went to the mission field. Not as many people seem to have the gift of music all the time on the mission field. And I know in Honduras they have the idea that if you just practice hard enough and you study hard enough, you can sing beautifully. And some of them, I wish it would work for them. Some of it has, but anyway, I do appreciate the music this morning. Appreciate the Lord's presence, and appreciate the Lord's touch. I got up this morning and I was not feeling that well. I don't know if it was nerves, being a little nervous, or what it was, but I prayed for the Lord to give me a touch, and He did, and I appreciate that. I just love the Lord this morning, and I just want Him to have His way in this service. And before I preach or anything, if there's anybody that has a testimony, feel free. There's two very important words that I think we all need to consider in every service, and that is, mine, God. And we just want God to be in control this morning. Well, when Brother Ziegler called me a couple weeks ago, I was a little surprised, pleasantly surprised, but I agreed to do my best to fill in this morning, and I began to study and to look at my sermons and different things, and I began to realize I've preached more in Spanish than I've preached in English. I went straight from college to the mission field, so the majority of all my things that I have prepared are all prepared in another language. And I felt the Lord leading me to two messages specifically. And I had actually had those messages written out and studied in Spanish. And so I spent this past week or so, excuse me, trying to take it out of Spanish and putting it back into English. But pray that the Lord will help us this morning and help us to get something out of the message. I'm going to take this morning's message out of a different passage of Scripture. you normally wouldn't go to this book of the Bible for a Sunday morning sermon. Many people actually just are kind of scared of this book. Many people don't even care to read this book of the Bible publicly, but there are some good truths in it for us. And I'm taking a sermon this morning from one verse out of the Song of Solomon this morning. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. I don't know how you all do it here, but in Honduras, whenever we read the Bible, we always stand. So if you would this morning, why don't we all stand in reverence to God's Word, and we're going to read, and then we'll say a quick prayer. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and verse 15. take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come together, to worship you together, and to learn about your word together. Lord, I just pray that you'll be with us this morning in this service. And give me a touch. Give me the words that you would have for us this morning. Help each and every one of us to open our hearts, open our minds this morning to receive your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The foxes, the little foxes. That's one phrase I'd like to focus on this morning, is the little foxes. But before we get into that, kind of as an introduction, the Sunday school lesson this morning, we actually were learning about Naboth and his vineyards, according to Brother Brother Cook, and the importance of vineyards and Bible days and property. At that time, many times when somebody had a piece of property, it was very special to them. It was part of an inheritance, and they were not to sell that. But apart from the sentimental value of a vineyard, vineyards also were considered a good source of wealth in Bible days. If there was a rich man, he most likely had several vineyards, not just one. And they were... One of the reasons, I would assume, is that grapes and that time was also the source of one of the most common drinks besides water, and that was grape juice or wine. And many times, if you were not drinking water, they would be drinking grape juice. It was a safe drink that they would drink. But anyway, it was a very common drink, but the vineyards were just a sign of a status of wealth, status of importance. And naturally, it was very important to take care of the vines, the grape vines. And one of the biggest threats to the vineyards wasn't the weather, wasn't bugs, it was actually foxes, the little foxes. And the reason is, in the night, many times the foxes would have their dens up in the mountainside, but they would come down and feed on the grapes in the vineyard. That was bad enough. But the little foxes, the puppies, so to speak, would actually just chew on the vine. They wouldn't just eat the grape, but they would chew and destroy the vine. And it would kill the vine, and the vineyard would not produce. So this is actually, in this scripture verse, we get the old proverb, it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. And I'd like to kind of concentrate a little bit on that this morning, how our, about the vineyard and how it's the little things that spoil the vine. First of all, I'd like to look at how our lives are kind of like the grape vineyards in Bible times. We are in a constant state of forming, developing, and making relationships with people, with family members, but also with God. Ultimately, we are forming a relationship with God, who is our Creator. And the truth is, if you want to know how someone relates to God, watch how that person relates to other people. In the New Testament, we find several passages of Scripture that refer to abiding in the vine. Jesus talked about this. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, he said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Again, I am the vine, referring to Jesus. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Jesus was likening our relationship with him, our relationship with God, to how a plant with the vines and the branches are interconnected. If we allow the little things of life to get in the way, they're like the foxes that destroy the vines, the young, tender vines. We draw our source from Jesus, our source of power, our source of strength comes from the vine. We are the branches. And I'd like to go beyond that now and think about the little foxes that can destroy our vineyards, our vines. Foxes are many times considered very intelligent animals. Many times, when I think of a fox, I think of a character that is sly, sneaky. We hear a lot of children's stories that use foxes as a sly, cunning character. And he's always trying to use some sort of deception. And we even have children's songs. The devil is a sly old fox. And different things like that. But there is a children's story that was told of a fox and a rooster. Now, some of you may have heard this story. Some of you may not have heard this story. But there was a rooster. And he was very handsome, very colorful, very beautiful. And besides being very colorful, being very beautiful, he also had one other unique talent, and that talent was he could sing. Some said he had the voice of an angel. He was really something else. He was the standard by which all other roosters were measured. He was it. And the truth was there was no other rooster quite like this rooster. And every morning, he would wake up the whole community at the same time every morning with his beautiful song. And after he would finish waking up the community, he would spend the rest of the day strutting around the barnyard with his seven wives, the hens there running around. And it just so happened that one night, a fox entered into the barnyard during the night, and the fox hid out in the garden, and he waited. He waited the rest of the night. He began to wait all morning, and he was just waiting for the right moment, and finally that moment arrived. The rooster was singing his beautiful song to his seven wives. And the seven hens were laying there comfortably listening to his beautiful music. When all of a sudden the fox appeared, and the rooster saw him first. And he quit singing, and he began to run, and he began to yell hysterically, yelling out warnings to the hens that there was a fox. But before the rooster could run very far, the fox interrupted him. And he said, "Sir, Why are you running away? Are you telling me you're actually scared of me? The truth is, I would never do anything to hurt you. You have a beautiful voice. I have never heard such a voice as yours. And speaking of beautiful voices, except for yours, I have never heard a voice quite like your father's. You know, he had a beautiful voice too. I never heard anybody that could sing like him. In fact, he had a technique. He had a trick for singing. And that is, he would stand up on his tippy toes and he'd stretch out his neck and he'd close his eyes and he'd begin to sing. And that just helped him, it just helped him sing powerfully and beautifully. And, sir, if you would, you have such a beautiful voice. I would like to hear you sing one more time. And I bet if you tried really, really hard, you could sing just as beautifully as your father sang. Well, the rooster, of course, being the proud rooster that he was, he closed his eyes tightly, and he stood up on his tiptoes, and he stretched out his neck, and he began to sing, and in the moment he began to sing, you can imagine what happened. The fox pounced. And poor rooster. The fox had trapped him through his pride, got him to close his eyes and to stick his neck out. You know, the devil's a lot like that fox. He's pretty sly. And he's pretty good at tricking us many times. But I'd like to talk about the little foxes, little things in our life. Little things that can distract us. Little things that cut us off from the vine. Little things that can ultimately, maybe not at the very beginning, but ultimately destroy us spiritually. I was making a list of things, and you know, the truth is, I believe if anybody would make a list this morning, if we would all sit down and just make a list of little things maybe in our lives that could hurt us, there probably wouldn't be any one list that is exactly alike, because we're all different. And the devil knows that, and he knows each one of our little weaknesses. I'm going to mention several this morning. Maybe they apply to you, maybe they don't. As the old saying goes, if the shoe fits, wear it. And I kind of had to say ouch a few times this past week as I was studying. The Lord began to talk to me. You know, it's a little side note. It's funny. Anytime I'm asked to preach, I'm not actually asked to preach very often. Here in the States, most of the time if I'm speaking, it's at a missionary service, you know, talking about the mission and things like that. But most of the time, when somebody asks me to preach, normally that means the Lord's wanting to work on me somewhere. And He begins to speak to me through as I begin to study. So many times when I'm preaching, I'm not preaching just to the congregation, I'm preaching to myself. So I'm preaching a little bit to myself this morning. The Lord has been working on me, and I've been praying for revival in my life, and the Lord is helping, but I have plenty of room to grow. But the little foxes, what are little things in our life that can affect us? A word that we don't care much for. It can have a good meaning, it can have a bad meaning, and that is compromise. Little compromises with the world. Sometimes compromise can be a good thing. Sometimes in our relationships, in our families, with our spouses, there has to be some compromise to get along. There are no two people that are exactly alike. My wife says a phrase occasionally. She said, Abraham Lincoln said that if there are any two people that are exactly alike, one of them is worthless. And so we all have our differences. And many times in a relationship, we do have to compromise to make peace. But the compromise I'm talking about isn't a compromise in a relationship. The compromise I'm talking about is more of a spiritual compromise with the world. Many times we can see something and we might feel a little check, but then we begin to think about it. Well, really, it's not really a sin. And you know, if it's not a sin, it'd probably be okay to go ahead and do that, whatever that can be. You can underline that for yourself. I can't speak for you. I know what that is in my life. I don't know what that is in your life. But it's that thing that the Spirit checks you about. It's a small thing. We may give way to that one small thing. But you know, in college, I had a professor. He always said, decision plus decision equals destination. And that's a pretty good formula. And it works that way with little compromises in our lives. It may be little at the beginning, but that one little thing can lead to something that's a bigger thing. We may give room to that little thing, but as we begin to give room to that, the next thing that was a little bit bigger before is now smaller. And we give room to that little thing. And before you know it, we've allowed the little foxes, the little things, the little compromises to destroy us spiritually. Lord, help me. Many times when we go to the mission field, we come back, it's easier to see changes in the churches. We don't realize how much we change over the years. But many times, time stops for us as missionaries when we leave and go to the mission field. And when we come back, we're kind of still 4 years earlier. And everybody else has moved on. Some of the changes are pleasant. Some of them aren't so pleasant. And I'm not going to mention specific things this morning. I've not been to this church very often. I've been to it several times and know quite a few of the people. But I don't need to. If there is anything that needs to be mentioned, the Holy Spirit can talk to you this morning. But the little compromises, the little disobediences to the still small voice of God. It is so important to live a daily walk with the Holy Spirit. I'm realizing that more and more. The older I get, I'm pretty young still. I still get to claim I'm in my 20s. I'm hanging on to my last year. I'm 29. My wife doesn't like that. But the older I get, the more I realize how important it is to walk with the Spirit. Listen to God's voice. And it's so easy in today's world. There are so many things calling for our attention. Technology is wonderful. I use it. I take advantage of it. But you know, with all the different distractions of cell phones and computers and the like, there's always something calling for our attention, either at work or at home. And it's so easy to drown out the voice of the Lord because we're so busy. And a lot of times we're busy with good things. We're busy doing good things. We're busy working in the church. We're busy doing this. But we fail to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's the little things. One of the examples I've thought about in the Bible a man that was a great man at one point. But he has a very sad story. And that's the story of Saul in the Old Testament. I don't have time to go through the whole story of Saul this morning. I do want to pull out just a little part of that. But towards the beginning of his reign, Saul actually, he started out as a very humble man from a very humble background. He was tall, they tell us, handsome, but we find him to be someone who was very humble, very scared. In fact, he hid when it was time to publicly appoint him as king. He was hiding. And so he was scared to death to take the position of a king. But Saul began to change after he accepted that position. If you read through the story there in 1 Samuel chapter 13, verses 3 through 4, I just wanted to pull a little part out there. We know that Saul began to conquer the enemies of Israel. He began to have some different battles. And his son Jonathan, one time, went up, and it says, "And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba." I don't know how to pronounce that. "And the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, 'Let the Hebrews hear.'" That who conquered this? Who won that battle? Did he say that Jonathan had won it? Let it be heard that Saul had done that thing, that he had won that battle. He took the credit for Jonathan's work. We begin to see pride coming into Saul's life. He didn't like the idea that somebody would be more important than him. And his pride became a big thing for him. It was probably pretty small at the beginning. It's real small. But it began to grow. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines. And that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines, and the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. So all Israel heard was that Saul had smitten a garrison, not that Jonathan. And so Saul began to receive the glory for that battle. Well, a little farther on in the same chapter, we see that some of the Hebrews, they went over to Jordan, to the land of Gad and Gilead. And as for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal. And all the people followed him, trembling. The people were scared to death. And he tarried 7 days, according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Saul felt like he was losing control. He had been waiting a whole week. People began to kind of scatter. People were probably panicking. And Saul probably felt like he was losing control. And he wasn't feeling quite as important. See, the people were following him before. They were all scared, and they had heard that Saul had smitten this garrison, and so they were behind their leader. And but now he's losing the attention of the people. Nothing's happening. They've been waiting 7 days. And it came to pass, and Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. And Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. And Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Paul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me." You know, I'm losing my followers. My people are getting nervous, and I'm losing control of the situation. And that thou, you didn't come in time. And that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash. Samuel, you didn't get here in time. So I had to do something. "Therefore," said I, "the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I haven't made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now, where the Lord has established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But we don't hear of Saul in the New Testament much. We hear about the kingdom of David. We hear about how David was a man after God's own heart. That could have been Saul. But because of the little things that he let creep into his life, the little bit of pride that grew that led to maybe what he thought was a small disobedience, but it was disobedience. It wasn't his place to offer that sacrifice. He was commanded to wait for Samuel. But now, because of those things, God couldn't use him. God wasn't going to be able to establish the kingdom upon him. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart. And the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept which the Lord commanded thee. And we all pretty much know the story of Saul, where it goes on from there. As it progresses, it gets worse and worse, and tragically ends with Saul and his sons being killed in battle. But it was the little things that crept into Saul's life. It was a process. It didn't happen all at once. It wasn't a big thing. And that's how it happens to us many times. Many times we can lose our joy. We lose our peace. It's the little things. I don't know what other little foxes there might be besides pride. Maybe materialism, we talked a little bit about this morning, covetousness, the sin of covetousness that the king had with Naboth and his vineyard, wanting that vineyard. We began to talk a little bit about how materialism is really part of what covetousness is. I'm not trying to come down the line on anything necessarily, but materialism, we're seeing a big spread of that in our churches today. I've seen it in my own life, and I've had to check myself. But we'll just end with a set of quotations, and you can put your little fox into that blank. If we're going to keep our peace, if we're going to keep our joy, if we're going to become established spiritually, we're going to have to destroy the little foxes. We're going to have to keep them from getting into our lives. And the only way that we're going to do that is through a clean heart. And to walk daily, as I mentioned already, in tune with the Holy Spirit, watching, praying. Mark 7, chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Jesus said, "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." All these evil things come from within and defile the man. That's why a sanctified heart is so, so important. A heart that is set apart. A heart that is fully consecrated to God. May we cry out this morning with the psalmist David. You know, it's pretty important time to time to kind of give yourself a self-checkup. A lot of times if you're getting a new job, they ask for a physical. You go to the doctor to make sure you're okay. How many times do we have a spiritual checkup? It's good to do it once in a while. But David, in the psalm that many of us know, Psalm 139, he said, "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me. Know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You know, it doesn't hurt to do that once in a while, to search our hearts. It doesn't mean we've failed spiritually. It doesn't mean we've failed as a Christian. It's just being careful and asking the Lord to show us, Lord, is there anything in my life that's displeasing to you? Am I doing anything that is grieving your spirit? I know the time is early. The truth of the matter is, I'm not a long-winded preacher. A lot of times preachers, they like to have at least an hour. It's good if you give them about an hour and 15 minutes. An hour and a half is wonderful. I'm different that way. I never been a long talker. I kind of say what I have to say, unburden what's on my heart. And I feel I've done that this morning. But before we leave this morning, I'd like to say a prayer. And as we go our separate ways, maybe we can just kind of dwell on that today. Lord, search my heart. Is there anything that's cutting me off from you, from the vine? Is there anything that's cutting my life off from you? Lord, if there's anything, show me. And you know, when we begin to do that, the Lord will take you seriously. And He'll begin to show you things. Some things may seem pretty obvious. Other things may seem a little different. But the Lord's faithful. And if we will just keep our hearts open to Him, if we will keep our ears in tune to His Spirit, He's always faithful to lead us and to guide us exactly where He wants us to be. And so if you would, let's just stand this morning. I hope I didn't disappoint anybody with a short message. I see a lot of smiles out there. A lot of smiles. I don't think there's much disappointment. But let's pray this morning. And let's just ask the Lord to help each and every one of us. Help us to live a careful life and to keep in tune with His Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity we've had. Lord, we thank You for Your presence that we felt, for Your help. Lord, as we go our separate ways this afternoon, Lord, help each of us to search our hearts. And Lord, if there's anything that's displeasing to You, show us. And help us to be willing to listen to Your Spirit and to walk in obedience to You, Lord. And just help us to do our best to walk according to Your Word. Lord, we love You, and we thank You for your mercies, Your faithfulness to each and every one of us. And bring us back safely tonight for another service. And give us Your presence throughout today. And again tonight, in the service tonight, just if it would be Your will, come in a special way tonight and speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.